Chapter 19, The Opportunity to Create a Fulfilling Life. The Art of the Passion Project. I believe that each of us should continually start new projects in diverse areas of our lives in order to grow holistically. I recommend starting passion projects yearly or so to keep yourself evolving. A passion project is a new project that you start around a topic that you are passionate about. It is distinct from a general project by the quality of it being initiated around a personal interest purely from inspiration. You begin a passion project to pursue something for its own sake. After you start the project and it gets traction, then you concern yourself with whether it will be a business, a hobby, or a philanthropic initiative. Launching new passion projects is about following your curiosity, your inspiration, and your creative spirit. A passion project is an investment in yourself, but it's also an investment in learning. As it grows, it becomes an investment in collaboration, an investment in community, and an investment in your future success. By experimenting with new projects across diverse domains of life, you will discover not only opportunities for personal growth, but also big long-term opportunities for business and financial success. Each new project gives you the chance to experiment and build something new. It gives you the chance to learn about new people, new ideas, new tools, and new methods. It also gives you a fresh start, a blank canvas to practice manifesting in the creativerse. Passion projects draw it all together and give you a way to investigate reality, starting with what sparks your curiosity. When you begin a passion project, you don't know where it will go or what it might become in the long run. The key is to launch a passion project around something that you're interested in without knowing where it might go. Where do you find topics for passion projects? Start by noticing what is newly interesting in your life. Ask yourself, what is something that has caught my attention that I've been learning about lately that I would love to get more deeply involved with? Maybe you've been reading about a new subject or watching videos, or perhaps a topic keeps coming up in conversation. Maybe it's a new emerging technology or a trend that you believe has huge potential. In my life, I've started passion projects around topics as diverse as building my own guitar, learning how to get a date, and curating an art gallery at Burning Man, not to mention electronic music, personal productivity, direct response marketing, visual design, startup investing, parenting, and many more. Each of these were initiated because it was something I wanted to learn about and do myself based on personal inspiration and curiosity. Each turned out to be a challenge on many levels, but each of these domains also became an important part of my learning journey in life. When you begin a passion project, do it because you are truly and deeply interested in a topic and because you want to learn more about it. Make sure that you're not only doing it for the money or because other people are doing it. Don't just follow a trend or get involved in someone else's passion project because you think that people will like you more if you're associated with the project. The main reason why you want to keep your passion projects pure from the beginning is that you're looking for subjects that could be interesting to you for years or decades and that you believe will help you refine and develop your own personal gifts and unique genius. When you begin with this as the premise, it plants the seeds of long-term sustainability. If one of your passion projects starts to take root and blossoms into something that gets traction and grows rapidly, you will find the challenge of supporting it and growing with it to be interesting. If you start something that you're not passionate about, that doesn't bring you a lot of haps, then when it takes off and grows, it's likely to be a drag, and you won't feel inspired to stay with it and help it to become more successful. When you initiate a project from a place of personal passion, you instill it with a special type of inspirational spark that makes it far more sustainable. When a project gets traction, it begins to face challenges on many dimensions. People challenges, technical challenges, legal challenges, management challenges, financial challenges, political challenges, and more. If you're not passionate about the project, my experience is that you're likely to walk away at some point because it just isn't worth it to continue. But when it's something that you're uniquely passionate about, that you're interested in personally learning about in order to develop as a human being, things are different. Like a soulmate or a child, a passion project contains a special magical tenacity or audacity that will inspire you to stay loyal for the long term. When you consistently work on new passion projects, you build a life that is interesting, fun, and challenging. This is the path to a successful life. It will bring you far more joy than working on a project just for money, fame, or power. Here's how to approach a passion project. Start out by committing to a 30-day test project. Maybe it's just an initial commitment to research and learn for that 30 days. You could read books, watch videos, and join an online group or a local meetup. At this stage, you might just personally study, or you might find other people who are interested in the topic to get a small group discussion together. Just go online or to your social group and find a few other people to get together and talk about the topic, whatever it is. Organize a hangout to share information and ideas. Do it quickly and casually to see if others are interested and to ride the wave of inspiration. If your first month goes well and your little group has a chemistry together, maybe launch a 90-day incubator project. This might be a simple 3-month project to get proof of concept of some kind. Maybe you decide to teach a course on your new topic, either yourself or with others, or write something. Or maybe you'd like to make a prototype for a piece of software. Perhaps you'd like to explore this thing as a volunteer project. Over that 90 days, see if you can come do a simple project to get your idea or project out there in the world to see if other people resonate with it. If you get through your first 90-day project and you feel like you have traction and momentum, then maybe commit to continuing for a full year. This is the point at which you start thinking more seriously about setting goals, organizing a group, and committing to building something that will make an impact. If you work on a project for a year and build a successful product or work group, this is the point where you can start considering what this project will be when it grows up. At this point, you can see more clearly whether it should be a business, a hobby, a philanthropy, or something else. And at that point, you can choose the path that you're going to take to scale up. Only some of these passion projects will work. 1 in 3 or so will get enough traction to become a real thing. This is normal, and it's actually great because you'll enjoy all of them. Even if a particular project doesn't go anywhere, you'll still get to learn and explore a topic you're passionate about, and some will turn into great opportunities in business and life. And the best part is, what you'll need to learn in order to make your passion project work is what you need to learn to become your highest self. As you start working on a new project, you'll see that there are things that you need to do that require you to learn new skills because this is a new project and a new domain. You may have to learn about new tools or about group dynamics or new ways to collaborate. By learning those skills about a topic that you're interested in, you also develop more holistically. Passion projects are your own personal self-development dojos, your own practice studio with mirrors for reflection and development. Some things will come naturally to you, but it's those new things that you must learn about that put you at the edge of your comfort zone. That is where the bigger self-growth opportunities are. If a passion project moves beyond this learning dojo stage, if it gets traction, it will probably go in one of a few directions. It will either become something for profit, a philanthropic project, or a hobby. I think that you should have at least one business project, one contribution project, and one hobby going in life. When you start a passion project as a hobby, and you do it because you want to see if you can make something work, you don't need to commit to doing it for a business or philanthropy. You're just doing the project to see if you can get traction. You're just doing it because you want to learn more about the topic and interact with other people. Then later, once you start to find your emergent strategy, that's when you can direct it more toward profit or more toward philanthropy. You don't need to know at the beginning. That's the theory of passion projects. So what does a passion project look like in practice? Here's a famous example. As I mentioned earlier, Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak used to go to this computer club called Homebrew, which was a bunch of computer geeks who liked to hang out and share ideas. They were putting together their own computers and experimenting with software just for the fun of it. They were working on passion projects, things that they were really interested in. The business, Apple, emerged out of that. This isn't an unusual company backstory. Oftentimes you find that a subculture where people are all really interested in a topic then becomes a place where great business and philanthropic ideas come from. Let me also give you an example from my own life. I'm personally very interested in mental models. I mentioned that Charlie Munger, Warren Buffett's business partner and one of the most successful investors in the world, talks about how you need a set of diverse mental models to use to analyze different situations. He takes this from an investment perspective, but mental models are really interesting to me in all areas of life, and I collect them. And because I'm really interested in mental models, I've thought for a long time that it would be cool to make a big collection of mental models and put it online so that young people growing up could get access to them. I've always had this little secret idea, but never acted on it. So last year, I got a mastermind together and I invited about 15 people that I know who are all interested in mental models to come hang out for a weekend to share our favorite mental models with each other. Several months ago, we all got together and talked about what a mental model is and how to develop them. Now we've got this little study group. It's just mental model geeks who are really interested in trading and exploring the structure of mental models. We're doing some interesting work and we're making progress toward this vision that I have. A business project has emerged from these meetings, and I believe that it will lead to many more positive things as well. Go to mentalmodelclub.com for more info. I think that everyone should start a passion project at least once a year. Maybe make it your New Year's resolution each year. Passion projects make great resolutions because when you come into a new year, you're looking for something new, something different, something exciting. Passion projects offer that. When you create that little social group, if an idea sparks, if it catches fire, that can be one of the best ways to uncover big opportunities out there. So get started now. Take some time to consider what you could do for a passion project. Answer these questions. What have I become interested in lately that I would like to learn about? What could I start or build over the next month to see if I could get a proof of concept? How could I organize a small group of people who are also interested in this topic to get together and share ideas? How could I get this group together quickly, like tomorrow or next week? Even if you meet on a call or an online hangout, get together and meet up with a group of others who are also passionate about your topic. When you get your group together, ask the following. What's the first thing that you could create together as a collaborative effort? Could you design something together? Could you 3D print something? Could you produce a white paper? Could you teach something together? Could you produce a product? Could you create a model and share it with others? Follow your curiosity and your inspiration, and you'll discover opportunities that bring you joy, success, and growth in your life. Go on a personal vision quest. What is your greatest opportunity in your life right now? It's an important question. It's so important that it can be overwhelming. But I think that we can all find what I call our highest opportunity for personal evolution. Each of us has one at any given moment. Your highest opportunity for personal evolution is the hidden opportunity that would allow you to grow and develop the most. What action would call out the greatest version of yourself? What project could you go to work on that would produce the most self-actualization? What relationship would pull you up the fastest? What is that big opportunity that would inspire the most personal evolution? The answer to these questions is waiting. It might take a bit of work to answer them, but as you might imagine, it's worth it. At any point in time in your life, there's one thing that would bring you the most growth. This isn't just something to make some money or have some pleasure. It's your highest opportunity for personal evolution. Highest opportunity personal evolution. The first letters are H-O-P-E. Your highest opportunity for personal evolution is your highest hope. It's not the type of hope that you wish for, but an opportunity you're actively looking for. We all need to have this type of hope, because if we're on the lookout for our highest opportunity for personal evolution, it will pull us up to the next level and make us become all that we can become. What is your hope? What is your highest opportunity for personal evolution right now? I'd invite you to imagine a space in your mind that represents the next level of your growth. It's what you and your life will look like at the next level. Next, imagine an opportunity that you could take advantage of right now that would force you to grow into that space and inspire you to show up as your highest self. It might be that passion project we talked about in the last section. It might be a new relationship. It might be a new mastermind or a new social influence. It might be reclaiming some of the energy that's being wasted on harmful compulsion. But right now, what is your highest opportunity for personal evolution? To best find the answer, I'd like you to take a weekend and go on a personal vision quest. I also call this a personal strategic planning summit. Big companies do strategic planning summits to map out the future of the business to set a course for the future. They're usually done off-site. They take the executive team and they all go somewhere, usually into the woods or to a remote location where they are completely away from their normal work environment. They talk through what they've learned recently, discuss their potential projects, and collaborate on their vision for the business. They talk about their values and they work out their identity. Following this example, I recommend that you plan 2 days in the near future to create a personal strategic planning summit for your life and to go on your personal vision quest. This is something that you should do alone for your own life. You could also do this with your romantic partner for your relationship. You could do it together for your family, but you should definitely do one for your own life alone, even if you're in a relationship, because I think we need to do this for ourselves personally before we do it well for our partnership or family. For your personal strategic planning summit, you're going to go off-site for 2 days. Ideally, go away some distance. Go to a place that inspires you and where you can completely unplug. No work, no social media, no surfing the internet, none of the normal stuff. You've got to totally disconnect. Dedicate 1 day to deep rejuvenation. Deep rejuvenation involves a peak relaxation experience, so do the things that put you into that state. Maybe it's going for a big hike. Maybe it's getting a massage or sitting on the beach and reading one of your favorite novels. Whatever it is that you love to do in order to relax and rejuvenate, plan to do that all day your first day. Ideally, you would go somewhere in nature, and some of this day would be spent walking or exercising, getting your heart rate up and doing something that involves movement in the real physical world. Ideally, another part of that day would be spent doing something that's very chill and relaxed, eating the kinds of foods that make you feel really good and totally unplugging from your normal life. Also, make sure to get a good full night of deep sleep. Spending time to reach peak experience is key because if we're not in our peak state, then we don't have our highest vantage point available to us. In your life, you've probably noticed that if you're triggered or if you're upset or if you're fearful or angry, your executive center shuts down and you just go into protective thinking. You get defensive or you become aggressive. You try to not lose in life. We talked about this earlier when we discussed fear. But the opposite is also true. If you become happier, more optimistic, all of a sudden new possibilities open up. You can start thinking long term instead of just thinking about survival right now. And this is doubly true if you put yourself into a peak state, because when you're in a peak physical, emotional, and intellectual state, the highest levels of strategic insight come to you. You can start seeing not just months and years ahead, but you can start seeing in the context of your whole life. You can start asking, what do I want my life to mean? When I'm at the end of my life and I'm looking back, what do I want to have been? What do I want to have accomplished? This kind of perspective is only available from a peak state. That's why on day one, we want to do deep rejuvenation so that on our second day, we can see more clearly. Day two is the strategic planning day. Now that you've put yourself into a peak state, you're going to create a vision for your life from that perspective. Ask yourself, what do I want for my life? What's next for me? What is my next passion project? What do I need to add to my life as a social influence? Who do I need to add to my life as a social influence? What new practices do I need to integrate to achieve peak physical, emotional, and mental health? Go through the experiences that I've given you in this book to identify opportunity, to reclaim some of the energy that you're wasting, and to think about the intersections in life and how you can weave together all of your resources and emerging opportunities. This is how you can discover your hope, your highest opportunity for personal evolution. It will likely come to you in a flash while you're contemplating your life. When you intentionally plan a vision quest or strategic planning summit like this, it pulls your consciousness up to the next level and gives you access to your higher self. I highly encourage you to plan and schedule your vision quest. Make a commitment right now to do it. Put it on the calendar and then use this process to discover your greatest opportunity. The transformational dilemma. At each stage of your personal evolution, you will arrive at a place on your path where you have reached the end of one phase and are on the threshold of the next. You will know that you're in this place because something has happened that has caused you to realize that you can't go on thinking and living the same way anymore. You can see the next level and what you will need to do in order to get there, but you also don't want to leave the comfort zone of your current reality. My mentor, Wyatt Woodsmall, and I call this the transformational dilemma. It's the point in development where you can see where you need to go next, but a part of you also doesn't want to go, and you become stuck. It feels like an intractable double bind. The Chinese use two brush strokes to write the word crisis. One brushstroke stands for danger, the other for opportunity. In a crisis, be aware of the danger, but recognize the opportunity. John F. Kennedy. In systems theory, they point to a pattern in systems where they reach a point of maximum chaos, polarization, and intensity right before the system experiences a phase shift to a higher level order. The transformational dilemma is the point in life right before you awaken to a higher perspective. It's the moment before you achieve simplicity on the far side of complexity. It's the feeling before you break through what Dan Sullivan calls the ceiling of complexity. When you're in the throes of a transformational dilemma, you have a stark realization that what you're doing in your life isn't working. And you also realize that this has to do with the way that you see reality itself. It's about your paradigm. You came to believe that the world was one way, and that belief is now undermining your success. You are now looking through a crack in your paradigm. As Leonard Cohen says, the crack is how the light gets in. With light painfully streaming through, you are faced with the dilemma of staying where you are and not being able to live in integrity, or leaping off the cliff, hoping to sprout the wings to fly to the next level. Steve Jobs tells the story about how Apple had released the Lisa computer, but had it flop in the marketplace. They needed to do something in order to save the company. Steve assembled a team of creative geniuses to set out to reinvent the computer. As he said, they were on a mission from God. This led them to invent the Mac computer, and the rest is history. When I met Annie, my wife, I was in a place in my life where I had recently accepted the fact that I was going to remain single for life. Relationships for me had never worked out long term, and I decided I was going to need to create a life where I was happy as a single person. When we started dating, I saw her as another person to see casually and to add to my circle. One night, she and I stayed up late sharing ideas. At one point, while she was talking, I had the powerful revelation that she was supposed to be my life partner. I remember feeling that my heart had a place inside that had never been awakened before, and somehow she was made to fit into that space. But then a terrible fear came over me, one I felt down in my stomach, all the way to my soul. I realized that if I were to fall in love with Annie, this might mean that we'd have a child together. This caused a kind of existential terror that I had never felt. Once a child is born, there's no going back. That night, January 23rd, 2010, was a turning point for me. I felt it happening on multiple levels and in many dimensions. I knew that if I went for it, that I was embracing a completely unknown future. I would have to leave behind a single free life I was living and create something new. I was in the biggest transformational dilemma of my life. Fortunately, I went for it. We now have a daughter, and she has become such a miraculous gift in our lives. Being in this relationship and in love is the hardest thing I've ever done. I can't even think of a close second. However, it's very clear to me that this is what I am supposed to be doing. In dark moments, I've felt like leaving. Sometimes I wonder why I ever did it in the first place. This is all part of the journey. But through all the intensity of being in love and becoming a father, I'm absolutely sure I made the right choice. My wife and my daughter have become my greatest opportunities for learning, growth, happiness, and fulfilling success. As they say, necessity is the mother of invention. But there's also a father, and that is your creative vision. When you reach a transformational dilemma in your life, remember that this is exactly where you are supposed to be. It is the indicator that the next phase of your growth, development, and evolution is in front of you. It's the signal that you are about to go to the next level. Allow the waves of fear to wash over you and stay in touch with your body. Between the pangs of terror, notice the excitement and world of possibility that is opening up at the next level. A higher part of you is about to be born. Release attachment to the old version of you, and with those open arms, embrace the opportunity to die into the next version of yourself. Design an evolving life. Once you understand that you will continue to grow and develop into new, higher, emergent levels of your potential, things start making more sense. You realize that this is the natural direction of evolution, and you begin to dance with the process more. I read that Ken Wilber sometimes refers to different stages of his life as Wilber 1 and Wilber 2 and Wilber 3 to refer to the previous paradigms and reality versions that he lived in. This might seem strange to some people, but it makes perfect sense once you move through a couple of key identity and life transformations. The next step, once you've embraced this process, is to start designing your life so that it actually invites transformation and evolution. You move into new interests and new domains of learning, expecting that there will be a time when you use what you have learned in combination with other knowledge and as part of higher versions of yourself. This causes you to structure your learning experiences, environment, and relationships expressly for personal evolution. The most important change that you can make to begin in creating a life that is designed for transformational development is in the way you attract people into your life and participate in social groups. Your social influences tend to become your destiny, so it's vital that you intentionally surround yourself with role models for your future self. In this paradigm, you are specifically looking for people who understand evolutionary development and who are passionate about personal and relationship transformation. These people are rare, with one reason being that it takes courage and bravery to be a self-developer and self-transformer. You're looking for those who have a growth mindset, meaning that they believe you can change yourself and your environment. These people believe that they can increase their knowledge and intelligence and help shape their own destiny. Fortunately, there are increasing communities and teachers who are evolutionary in their thinking and teaching. You can find workshops, retreats, masterminds, and learning programs in many different domains that have this paradigm infused in them. The more you build your social circle based around this key idea of designing an evolving life by surrounding yourself with people who are building evolving lives, the more you make personal evolution inevitable. The weighing of the heart. In Egyptian spirituality, when a person died, they went through a process called the weighing of the heart. They went before Osiris, the god of transition to the afterlife. Osiris would put their soul's heart on one side of a special scale, and on the other side, he would place the feather of Ma'at. Ma'at was the goddess of truth and justice, and she wore a special ostrich feather in her hair, which was the symbol of truth. If the heart weighed more than the ostrich feather, then it would be devoured by a terrible goddess named Amit, who was part lion, part crocodile, and part hippopotamus, a combination of three animals that ate humans in those times. Once eaten by Amit, the soul would cease to exist. If the heart was lighter than the ostrich feather, then the soul would be allowed to travel to Aru, the field of reeds, where it would exist forever in an idealized version of the life that it had lived while mortal. The message was clear. If you live in a way that makes your heart feel heavy or that weighs on your conscience, then you are not living your highest potential. This was a mythological encouragement to live an ethical life of goodness, integrity, and virtue. When I read this spiritual allegory, it touched me deeply. I instantly realized that optimizing for my heart's lightness with my actions is the way to navigate through life. Imagine the spiritual aspect of yourself or your soul. Imagine that it has a heart, which is your soul's seat of intellect and feeling. Now imagine that this heart has a particular type of sensitivity, which allows you to intuit in advance whether or not a particular opportunity will create more fulfillment and joy in your life. When an opportunity is right for your life, in a holistic sense, it always makes your heart feel lighter. It has a quality of inspiration. This special soul heart also informs you and gives you insight about places in your life and relationships where you have cleanup or repair work to do. It acts as an emotional indicator of unhealed past wounds and of opportunities to hear your conscience and have it guide you. You don't need to wait until after death to feel the weight of your heart. If something makes you feel heavy, then it's likely it isn't right or it trespasses on your values. Our bodies, emotions, and minds are built for a time when opportunity was far more scarce. Now we have the option to find and create opportunity as much as we want in life. Follow those opportunities that lead down the path of a buoyant heart, of a lighter soul. Each of us received the greatest opportunity of all from our parents and from our planet, to be alive. Let's pass on the gift of life and evolution. Let's work together to reduce suffering. Let's join together and contribute to the actualization of fellow beings. This may be our greatest collective opportunity. The opportunity to create a fulfilling life. Each of us should start new projects in diverse areas of life to grow holistically. Launch a new passion project every year or so to keep yourself learning, growing, and evolving. This is a project that you start around a topic that you're passionate about before knowing what it will grow up and become later. Once your passion project has traction, then start thinking longer term and imagining what it could be when it grows up. Don't make the decision too early whether your project will be a hobby, business, philanthropic venture, etc. What is your greatest personal opportunity in life right now? It's worth going through a process in order to find it. Plan a personal vision quest or a strategic planning summit in order to discover it. Plan to take 2 days off and put yourself into a peak state, then to consider and plan your future. The first day, go to a place where you can completely unplug from work, social media, news, and the internet in general. Do what deeply rejuvenates you and puts you into a peak state. The next day, create a vision for the future of your life by asking what you want for your life, what's next for you, what your next passion project could be, and who you need to add to your life socially. As you're going through transformations, recognize what I call the transformational dilemma, where you feel that the way you're living isn't working and that you need to go to the next level. Then go for it. Design an evolving life and do what makes your heart feel lighter. Ultimately, create a life of growth and contribution. Let's work together to reduce suffering and contribute to the enlightenment of all beings. What are the passion projects that you could start in order to learn more about new and diverse areas of life? What could you do during your 2-day personal vision quest or strategic planning summit in order to discover your own greatest personal opportunity? What conditions can you put in place to design a life that is constantly growing, evolving, and contributing to others?